Well, good morning again. To be able to get out and do something. And it's great to be able to share with you this morning something from the Word of God. It's not too hard to find where we're at. Page one. So if you have your Bible, turn to page one. It's Genesis chapter one. And today we're looking at verse 3 through 25. I don't think I'm going to read all of this. I'm just going to kind of read parts of it but I am going to go through it all. You know, we're going to go day one, day two, and all that, but I'm just going to talk it out, and that way it'll save time because I've got a few things I want to say here. I kind of wrote this up on different things, so I've got a bunch of stuff here and thought of other things and put it in and things like that. But well, Brad got us started last week. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And the earth was unformed. It was empty. It was there. And now God is going to do something very creative. And He's going to start His handiwork in the earth. And right now we're going to go through the next, I guess you'd say, 5.5 days. Because we go up into day six. I don't know if you know it or not, but man wasn't the only thing He created on day six. He created other things. And seemed like as the days went on, He got busier. He got more creative, got more things going. I don't know. I'm just saying it looks like He got really inspired by things, His own work. And it's interesting how this was all written. You all know this was written by Moses, right? This is the books of Moses. The five books are written by Moses. The first, the Pentateuch, the five books in the Bible written by Moses. So when this was written, men had already got into sin. Men had already messed up. And so it was written from a place of knowing what had already happened. So this was here, but this stuff we're talking about today, there's no way anybody was around to know about this. You'd had to have revelation of this. Somebody says, what was Moses doing when he was up in those mountains for 40 days and 40 nights, neither eating or drinking? Well, I'd say he was getting some of this stuff. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out when he had time to do that. He had a lot of people to deal with. I don't know when he had time to write. Maybe, you know, like my dad said, when we had a dairy farm, he was so busy, he said he wanted full-time work when we started a dairy, but he said between the hour of midnight and 6 a.m, he wasn't too busy and he didn't know what to do with himself. Some of you guys that ran dairy farms, you probably know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Moses was somehow given all this information and he was writing it out. I would say some of it might have been dictated, you know, memorized. Some of the genealogies and stuff I know at least were memorized. You teach them to the young, and then they would memorize. They kept them that away before they were written down. But I don't know. This stuff here we're looking at today, this had to be some type of revelation. God Himself saying, here's what I did. Here's what happened. But the earth was empty. It was unformed yet. There wasn't anything. And so in verse 3, the word then, God's going to do His greater, more detailed work of creation. Now in verses 3 through 25, the creative works of God for the first 5.5 days, right into the sixth day, where part of the sixth day He made man. And over, you know what? I just realized something. Woman wasn't created in the Genesis chapter 1. She's created in Genesis chapter 2. God had to take a whole chapter to put her in there. So you ladies. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to elaborate. God willing, I don't elaborate. I know I'm stepping out on a plank here. God made woman, and I'm not sure if it took a whole day or not. Yeah. It might have taken a week. We don't know how long it took. But I know one thing. When Adam woke up, there she was. He was asleep. Yeah, well, we'll let whoever's supposed to preach on that handle that. Good luck. I mean, no. Day one. It says here in the first thing God created was the day and night. And I think this is worth pausing on just a second. But day one, possibly, people don't understand this, and I'm not saying I understand it either. I'm just giving you some thoughts. He created the day and night on day one. And then on day four, he created the light, the sun, and the moon, and the stars. So I'm thinking, what did he do on day one? He created light. Well, this is just something I tried to read. You know, I'm not smart enough to figure all this out. So one thing that came to my mind, and then I checked it out in the commentary, I love to think and pray and see what God will kind of speak to me about on this because I don't understand it. And then I read a commentator that said sort of the same thing. It's possible God created on day one the rotation of the earth on its axis. Okay? He got a team of scientists together. Hopefully not the ones that's working on the coronavirus. But, excuse me, I shouldn't have got, I know I'd get into that. But he got and said, you know, if we make this thing spin at a certain rate, we can get around this thing in 24 hours. And we call the first 12 hours day, and we call the second 12 hours night. And God said, no, we're going to call night first. We're going to create the night first, and we're going to create the day. How many of you know the Jews go from their day starts at in evening? Did you know that? Kenny could come up here and wax eloquently on that. But the Jews start their day at 6 in the evening, and then that day ends 6 the next evening. They go from night day from evening to morning. The reason they do that, did you notice in the first thing we said here? Evening and morning was the first day. Evening and morning. Most of us go morning to evening. But God sort of starts from a place of rest. He sort of starts with a place out of a place of rest. He sort of starts out of darkness and brings light in the darkness. It's kind of interesting the way God does things. I wrote some. You see, the earth was dark. Darkness was over all of the earth. And God brought light into the darkness. So out of darkness came light. Evening and morning. Night came before the day. Your life, likewise, is always moving from night to day. From dark to light. And this is the way God does in people's lives. He moves from weakness to strength. From despair to hope. From guilt to innocence. From tears to joy. From death to life. We were singing, you know, today, and it was reminding me of that. What were you before God came to your life? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God has made you alive in Christ. And you know, this is a very interesting thing for me because one day this old body's going to die. And we're all say, well, that's the end of Jeff. Uh-uh. God moves from death into life. And so be encouraged. There is life after death. Can I say something to the skeptic today? Don't raise your hand if you're a skeptic. You, you don't have to do that. But I'll tell you one thing. I used to argue with a lot of people about the existence of God and things like that. Did you notice in the first verse of this first chapter, it says, in the beginning, God. The Bible wasn't written to convince skeptics. The Bible was written to help us who believe. Now, that doesn't mean you can't use the Bible to help a skeptic believe, but God's not out there to say, oh, I'm really worried because people don't believe in me. He's not really in a panic about that. He isn't. Like we always, like I heard a guy say one time, the atheist will say, well, I don't believe in God, and the guy says back to him, well, that's okay, he believes in you. And that's the truth. God believes he can still show himself strong on behalf of people. Well, anyway, that's all I have to share about day and night. It possibly had to do with the rotation of the earth. Because you know what? If there is no sun and there is no moon and the earth is still out here rotating, it's still day and night, even though there's nothing there to show it. Later on in day four, he proves to us, okay, now I've got a son, you know. I got an old uncle, he's 89 years old. He says you go to bed when the sun goes down and you get up when it comes up. And you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. That's the way God wanted us to know. I woke up this morning about 6:30. I looked out and it was light and I thought, well, it must be time to get up. Now, I don't go to bed when it gets dark, but, you know, God gave us day and night, light and darkness, and it helps us to know where we're at, where things are at. Okay, let's go on a little bit. Day two. I never could understand this for quite a few years, what he was talking about here, about the expanse in the midst of the waters and separate the waters from the waters. I began to realize God was creating the atmosphere. If you get out away from the earth, way out there, and you look down, there's like a... call it a canopy. They call it a canopy. There is a atmospheric canopy over the earth, and that's our atmosphere. That's why we're breathing air. At least some of us are. We're breathing air, okay, because God created the atmosphere. He had to create that first because he was going to put living creatures on it and he was going to make them breathing. So he made the atmosphere and he made this expanse. And there's moisture there and there's ozone there and there's things there that God put in the earth. I guess you know if that atmosphere would suddenly break up, the earth would be scorched like somebody using a magnifying glass on us. You know, it'd just burn us up. We would burn up. So God created this. He had this plan. All right. Day three, God created dry land. He moved things around, moved the waters around, and lifted things up and dry land, and got the dry land going. He also created the oceans, and then he created vegetation and trees. And I'm going to just say something here in this day three. He uses this term, seeds after their kind. Tree bearing fruit with seeds in them after their kind. That's an interesting Hebrew word there. It's M-I-N, I think, in our English word. It's min, min. And that word is always used with its kind. Its has the idea of that it's to its, it has something innate in itself there. It's part of what it is. For example, we got a thing called genus. You know, the genus of things. You know, when you take vegetation, like for example, how many know there's many different varieties of oak, right? Somebody can name some. You know, we got white oak, we got red oak, we got water pin oak or whatever. We got all kinds of oak, but the genus is that it's a type of oak, and that is a kind. And all of these different kinds were created, but they had to be they are adaptable. Inside your kind, there's adaptations that can take place. That's where all these different kinds came from, different ones came from. And in that seed, it's amazing, in a seed, there's so many things that can come out of that seed that are different, but they all stay the same kind. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? That's why God put that in there, after its kind. You'll see that in all these places where he created cattle and you know, all these different things. Well, anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Inside your kind, in that kind, things can evolve, if you want to use that. There can be changes. All right, boy, I know this is just, it's just like a history lesson, isn't it? Here we go. Day four, God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. They were for signs, for seasons, days and years. Now we got something that tells us when to get up and when to go to bed. We got something that tells us what time it is. Got something to tell us what year it is. And all that, because all of that's involved in this. All right? And I love this. I bring this up every time I talk about this. In verse 16, it says, he made the stars also. Kind of like an afterthought. Oh, by the way, he made all the stars. You know, they study the stars. They've never been able to reach the outer limits of the universe. They thought they got there once, and then they realized they were wrong. It just keeps going on. And I don't know. I've got a theory about that. You mind if I share my theory? You know I'm going to anyway, but just... You know, he spoke and these things happened. And I've often wondered if stars and all that stuff isn't still being created out there because his voice is still echoing through the universe after all these years and things are still being created. They'll never be able to catch up with the voice of God. Oh, we got it. Well, there goes another one. Something else happened. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying maybe it's still expanding. We've heard words about the expanding universe. Well, I don't know. That's just a thought. You got to take all this with a grain of salt, okay? I mean, this is just to get you all thinking about things and, you know, because God's far beyond me as far as I know how this can all happen. Well, I'm going to just go through this briefly. Day five, God created the creatures in the oceans, the fish, the birds, and it also says in day five, he created the great sea monsters. Wonder where those things are at. Maybe I got some competition over here. Anyway, the great sea monsters. I've often wondered if that wouldn't be those dinosaurs. Those big reptiles that, you know. I've often thought when Noah got to those great big tall things that are as tall as this ceiling here, he said, okay, guys, I think you're going to have to stay. I don't know. You know, maybe he left them off the boat. I don't know. But I know they're not around anymore. We've never found them anyway. But we found their bones, haven't we? Anyway. Great sea creatures and ocean creatures and fish and birds and anything that flew or swam in the seas on that fifth day, he started creating those. And here we go. Evening and morning was the fifth day. And then part of the sixth day, God created the beasts of the field, and it specifically mentions cattle and then creeping things. So I guess everything from a cow to something that creeps, use your imagination on that. He created everything in between and creeping things. Boy, God, he spoke these things. And that's when I want to go in. Then the rest of day six, Sean will get into this next week. He'll pick it up next week, is when man was created, because that was a very special event. Now, I want to go to Hebrews 11, chapter 3. The New Testament gives us some insight into some of the stuff that was going on in this beginning. Hebrews 11, chapter 3. This thing is a directional mic, isn't it? You got to hold it right in front of your face. Okay, got it. Like this, you can't hear me. Well, Maybe I'll do that. I don't always hold it right in front of my face. Is this on? Okay. Verse 3 of chapter 11, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. What we see has not been made out of things which are visible." That's an interesting point. Psalm 33, verse 6, these all go together, sort of. There's a lot of scripture on God creating, God doing creative things. And I'm not going to read them all. I'm just giving you these to kind of bring our mind into what's taking place. But Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts." Later on in verse 9 of that same chapter it says, "For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." He spoke and it was done. I mean, that sounds pretty quick, doesn't it? Let this happen and it's done. He spoke. We can't fathom that. See, God's the only one who can create something out of nothing. All of us have to create something out of something. He made everything. The idea of God speaking and it happening is all through Scripture. That's hard for us to imagine. We think of process. You know, well, we'll start here and after about 3 months we'll have us a house, you know. But when God speaks, it's done. So I want to pick out some of the scriptures in Genesis 1, 3 through 25 that speak these phrases and they repeat this idea. I'll say in verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20 and 24, the word God said. Or God spoke. God said. And five times the response after that, God said, this word is said, and it was so. It was done. I want to impress that upon you. Because when God speaks, things happen. God has creative energy in His words. He's the only one who can create out of nothing. That's what Hebrews 11 is telling us. What is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The material world was not made out of stuff that was already here. The material world was made by God speaking. Not doing anything, just speaking. I don't know how that happens. That's beyond me. But I'll tell you what, when you're in a situation and you're in a struggle and when you're in a time of need, you go to God and pray and you talk to God about it. God, you get God to turn His face towards you and God speaking, things will change. Things will happen. We take things which are visible. We take a tree, we make a house. We take a rock, we make a sculpture. We take cotton, we make clothes. God speaks and it's done. Something out of nothing every time. And the second thing I wanted to bring out from these scriptures, got to get back there, is something that's repeated over and over again, is God saw and it was good. God saw, God looked at it. After He created something, He stepped back and looked at it and said, that's good. He didn't say it's excellent. God doesn't grade His stuff on the curve. When God says something's good, it's the best it'll ever be. That's why when Jesus, they asked Him, called Him good teacher. Jesus looked at Him and said, who's good? Only good alone. The only one that's good is God. Because things don't get gooder than good in God's mentality, in God's way of thinking. Only thing that good is at the top of the list. It was good. Later on, he said it's very good. Now, that would be way off. He looked at the whole thing and said it's very good. I don't want to get into that because that's not where I'm supposed to speak. But six times, this is spoken in these verses, 3 through 25. God saw, and it was good. Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit. God, now I'm not trying to lower God by doing this. I'm trying to understand. And I think things are written here so that we could get to know God a little bit. How many know that knowing God is that's our whole calling, is to know Him and then go around telling everybody else about Him? That's my watch. That's our job, to know God and then to make Him known. Do you know that? You say, well, I thought we were supposed to tell the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? It's telling people about God, telling what He's done, telling people about who He is. And you have to know what you're talking about. You have to experience God. You have to know what He says in His Word and then see that Word working in the world around us and internalize the things that God has done and the things that God... That's how we know Him. And when I read something like this and when somebody asks me to talk about it, I want to kind of get to know the one that created us. And part of that knowledge is the fact that God, after He does something, He likes to step back and reflect on what He's created. Wouldn't you say that's what He's doing? I do that all the time. I don't know how many people here saw pictures of the tile job I did at my daughter and son-in-law's. I've showed everybody that thing because I'm so proud of it. First time I'd ever done a tile job. And I love it when people say, my goodness, look how nice that is. That's your first job? Yeah, it's my first job. I stepped back and said, no, it's very good. Kenny saw it. I'll show it to you right afterwards if you want me to. Anyway, never did tile before. Well, God had never done anything like this before as far as we know. And He's stepping back from it and said, it's good. He's reflecting on His work. It's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the way He built us. You know? And if you step back and look at it and say, like Delmer had too, about the tile above his... Well, we don't want to go there. Somebody in his family reflected on it and said, this isn't going to work. So he had to tear it all out. I bet you'll be regretting the fact you told me that right before church, Delmer. I tell you what, I'd have got on that motorbike and rode off and they'd never seen me again, I guarantee you. You don't even want to know what happened. We're getting ready to put backsplash up at our house. Tile backsplash. It's the thing, you know. Anyway, I don't know how I got into that. But God likes to look at what He's done and reflect on it. And He probably likes to tweak things if it's not quite the way He wants to do it. In fact, He tweaked things later on, you know. Man didn't look too hot, so, you know, Adam was walking around not looking too good of shape, so He tweaked it. You're a tweak, ladies. But anyway, He considers and He evaluates His work. Somebody said, well, did He make a mistake? No, that's not what we're talking about. He didn't make a mistake, but God can look at things and make things better. Later on in the case of Adam, God reevaluated Adam's situation, created Eve. God is actively, this is what it tells me, is God's actively involved in creation. I don't believe the deist idea that God made everything, wound it up, and went off on vacation and left us all to just do what we had to do, and that He's out there somewhere. No, God's actively involved in His creative work. He didn't just make it all go and walk off. He's involved with us. And I think from the very beginning, He wanted you and I to know when we read this, well, He's still looking things over. He's still evaluating. He's still working in the affairs of men. He didn't just wind it up, turn it loose, but he gives constant oversight and care to everything that he creates. And I think that's important. When we're talking about a personal, loving God, I think that's important to know that. By the way, Delmer did tear out all that backsplash and recreated it. Am I right, Delmer? Yes. Bless his heart. I told him he's a good man. And it was good. Yes. Because if it wasn't, you'd be doing it again. Yeah. So what we see in all this is we see God who's very actively creating things out of nothing, who's very involved in his creation, very personable, making things that you and I mean, I'm sure there's complicated. You know, when I just finished the book of Job, you know, and I was amazed. I'm always getting stuff out of the book of Job, but I was amazed at some of the questions that were fired at Job. Where were you when I set the foundations of the earth? Where were you? You know, it's an amazing book. And it says, it talks about things. Do you know this? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know anything about that. I don't even know if anybody knows about some of the things that Job was hit with from God. Do you know where the foundations of the earth are? I don't know where they're at. There must be somewhere down there. God knows where they're at. And I remember the one about the secrets or the treasures of the snow. Anybody know what the treasures of the snow are? Huh? You know where the storehouses of the snow are? What the treasures of the snow are? There's treasures in the snow. Go find out. God asked Job those questions. There's things that God asked about his creation to Job that Job had no idea what was. And you know, there's things like that we can't even touch the recesses. You know, the depths of the sea. Do you know, anybody know where the tallest mountains are? They're in the ocean. Did you know that? At least that's what I've heard. The sun on, I forget the name of the fault, over by the Philippines or whatever. The tallest mountains are in the ocean. See, there's things like that we've never been there. We don't know. And God knows all these things because he created them. God created them. And then here we have God speaking and it comes into existence. Then we have God reflecting on what he's created. You know? God will reflect on your life if you ask him to. God will look at your life and he'll help you reflect on your life. He'll help you to see things that you can't see and to know things about yourself that maybe is difficult for you to know. But God is there. And let me tell you this. Every one of us, his heart and his desire is to be able to look at us and say, it's very good. But you'll never be very good without him. You've got to have him in your heart. You've got to have him in your life. That's why he sent Jesus, because he wanted to make things good for us. He wanted to make things good for us. He wanted to redeem us. I was with my son-in-law the other day. He said something that I think Pastor Vic said it years ago, and I never forgot it. He says, everything God does. Now, I want you to hear this. You ought to write it down if you think you'll forget it. Everything God does is redemptive. It's to redeem. It's to bring back. You know, that did something in me. Because a lot of times I'll say things that aren't very redemptive for the other person to hear. I need to learn to say things that are redemptive. Those are the things that God says to people. He says, he speaks things that are redemptive, to bring back, to draw near. That's his heart. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, that you created us. You created all the things that we see around us. You even created those pesky viruses that we weren't supposed to get involved with. They were supposed to be in their realm. And I pray, God, you'll help us today to see the good the way you see the good. To realize that you're powerful and that you can speak into any situation and it's done. You can speak and it's done. We need your voice today, Lord. We need your heart today. We need to know your mind and your heart, God. We need to know you. You said this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you, to know your heart, to know you, and then share it with others. Share the love and the greatness of God with others around us. Thank you for your creation. Thank you that you are a creator, a great and faithful, loving Creator. And I pray that we could share that news with everyone who's in despair and needs to find hope, who's in darkness and needs to have light. Help us, God, to be that vessel for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.